World building, whether you're new to the game or experienced, can be particularly challenging. How do you start?
Tonight, we'll walk you through a cooperative world building exercise on how to build a great fantasy tavern for your players.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about cooperative world building.
This episode actually came about because we get a lot of feedback on how to build a city, nation, world, in this case, tavern for tonight. And we thought it would be kind of cool to show you how to run a collaborative exercise with your players and build stuff on the fly.
And we've talked about how to build cities, how to build guilds and stuff like that. This is not just particularly about bars or taverns, but also how to do it collaboratively.
And that's the important part, because collaborative storytelling is, I say, the most fun in a role-playing game that you can have, because it gives you and your players a lot of stuff to work towards, and it allows you to become invested. So what we're going to do tonight, we often do this live, by the way.
Yes.
When we go to conferences and stuff like that, think Dragon Con and other things.
Done it on Twitch once or twice.
Mm-hmm. This is part of the live world-building series we often do at conventions, and we think it's a great way for people who are starting out, or if you've done it for a long time, to build something together. And remember, collaboration is key here.
Collaboration creates an investment from your players that you cannot get any other way.
Yeah.
Your players can be super invested, but there's a type of investment that you get from part of the world being yours that you don't get just through playing.
So we're going to build a bar tonight. Just a bar, simple fantasy tavern. Nothing else. We're not building cities or worlds or any other stuff. We're just going to build a bar to center it down and keep it easy. Now, you can apply these techniques to anything else.
You can apply them to the other episodes we've done about like building a city. You can build a city with your players. You can build guilds with your players.
You can. How does this work, Matt?
First thing you're going to need is your DM.
Okay, we've got a DM.
Then you're going to need
some
your players.
Yes. A couple of players. Get them all in the room or in the Discord server, however you guys play. But get everybody together, get them off their phones, get them interested and invested in this.
And unless they're on Discord, then you need them on their phones. Well, I guess they could be on their laptops.
They could. In this case, the DM acts as the mediator while the players are going to toss suggestions to the DM. Now, you can toss suggestions by writing them beforehand if you want. But most likely, it's a lot more fun, and I'd say a lot easier, to toss them while you're all together in the same setting.
It gives you the opportunity, especially as players, to bounce ideas back and forth.
We're going to vote then on the best ideas, and that becomes the reality for your game world. So if I say the name of this bar is blank, that's the name of the bar, right? If everybody votes on it. If the name is something else,
well, then
it is what it is, right? Yep.
The trick for the DM is to try and justify those decisions.
This is a key point here.
Yes.
Sometimes it doesn't matter how insane the ideas are. Justify them.
Yeah, make them work. Even if the justification is equally as crazy, this is a fantasy world, it's okay.
Obviously, if it's completely left field, you can toss it out. You have veto power. But for the most part, try to stay within this justification center point. Once you do that, go on the premise, if that was true, what else is true?
Sure.
The old improv adage.
Right. What can you draw from these ideas that expand the entire game world?
Based off of what was just said and what was true.
Right. Let's take the spectral goat. Goats, animals in general, can become ghosts. This is now a thing that is true.
We got a spectral goat roaming around, eating spectral grass. Look at that. See how I just built that?
now we've got spectral grass.
Now we have spectral grass. We've just justified it. The goat has to eat something. What's it going to eat? Obviously, spectral grass.
What happens if a ghost goat starves?
Does it become a ghost ghost? It becomes a ghost ghost. This is how our world works. And now we've gone into bedlam.
Sure.
So justify everything that you can after you mash up a whole bunch of ideas together.
what this does is it lets players build something that they own before the game even starts. And you can continue this with other elements that are large or small, like stores or cities.
A boat.
That could be awesome.
Yeah. If you're playing on like a pirate ship or something like that, they can start with the boat. Anything the characters own, really. That includes, by the way, magic items.
If you have players that either are DMs or that are considering DM, let them tinker around with some monsters occasionally or some other things that you can now put in your toolbox.
And don't necessarily show it immediately. You know, 5-10 games down the road, they're in a different city, different town, and then all of a sudden, the monster that they came up with from the beginning of the game is killing them.
Sure.
How delightful, right? They'll be delighted until their character dies.
It keeps them from being disconnected from the world, right? They are a part of the entirety of the world, not just this tiny little character microcosm of it.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and build a bar. Tonight, we've got three sections that we're going to flesh out, and this won't take very long. We're going to build the actual bar.
Sure. Got to fill it with people.
And then we're going to add some story options into this bar. And that's
because
it.
Every bar should have stories.
I totally agree. So let's build this bar, Matt.
All right.
First off, what do we need to know about this bar?
It's going to need a name.
A name. We tend to have the following adjective noun for the name. So the drunken giant.
The spectral goat.
The spectral goat, yes. The shifty gnome.
Rampant wyvern.
Ooh, I like the rampant. Why is he rampant? Who knows? Let's justify that, right?
Yep.
It's rampant because maybe it's waylaying the town and they made a bar after they killed it.
For us, the way we handle this as a group is we have everybody write down a couple of adjectives and everybody write down a couple of nouns, and then you just pick them at random and you can bounce ideas back and forth as to why that got that name.
Sure. And once you come up with something in consensus, cool. That's your bar name, right?
Yeah.
That's your tavern. Now we need a location. Where's it located?
I like a bar in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, on top of a mountain, inside a city, underwater. Come up with something.
Next door.
Next door, right next door.
Or the players live over the bar, right? Like New York style.
It could be.
Why not? Now you're going to need to know, since you have a name and a location, you're going to need to know the quality of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a seedy, run down, like super dive?
Filthy. Filled with criminals and vermin.
Or is it the super luxe, like we have a selection of wines and liqueurs and liquors that are, you know, everything from 30 gold to 5,000 gold?
Yeah, is it bougie or magic bougie?
Right.
Going in line with that, you need the bar style.
And style can mean a lot of things here. Is it aesthetically a certain type of bar, right? Either culturally or a dwarven bar might have like grown wooden pitchers and chairs that were molded versus being chiseled or cut or what have you, right?
A gnomish bar is going to have a pickled head with orange brine.
Sure.
And the head's still alive and it talks to you. Burbling as you walk in.
Your food might be delivered by little auto gnomes or what have you, right? There's lots of options
there. I was thinking the little drones from Star Wars.
I knew exactly. That's
what you didn't see.
Kind of where I started on
what neither of you, no one saw. No, not YouTube or anybody listening on the podcast saw is that my brain lit up and my eyes got really wild for a second. And Matt saw it and he knew exactly what I was thinking. A lightning bolt shot from my brain into his, and Matt said, "You know what? I bet Eric's thinking about Star Wars right now."
And I was like, "Okay, I'm not going to make this be a mouse droid. We're going to make it an auto gnome."
Sure. Next up, you need to know the accommodations in our tavern.
Accommodations could be like literal accommodations, i.e., do they have rooms? But also, do they have a summoning circle? Do they have a teleportation circle?
They have a cold room to store the body while they res the person.
Yeah, there's lots of options there, and knowing it can be important.
Included into your accommodations is something unusual that they provide for the adventurers. Every bar should have something could be just a strange drink that they provide for adventurers. It literally could be bandages when they come in wounded from the forest.
Sure.
Or it could be, I don't know, a soul crystal to store your soul while your body gets healed.
That could be interesting. Like, literally, you just remove the person from their body so they don't have to deal with the pain.
That would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
What a great storyline, right?
It's easier to rest that way.
What's another question you need to ask?
What food and drink are available at this tavern?
Okay. So drink, are they known for their selection, quality, and strength? Those are the three things you need to kind of figure out together as a group.
For example, a dwarven bar, dwarves who have resistance to poison and high constitution, probably more known for the strength of their drinks because they have to be strong to even affect them.
I would say some gnomish coffee would also be strength.
Sure.
You take a sip of that, it literally comes out of the mug and slaps you across the face.
Tiny little coffee elemental that you have to subjugate.
Oh, coffee elemental. Yes. Instead of subjugating, you have to drink it.
Yeah.
You have to force it down your mouth. There we go. There's a perfect example.
Sure.
I bet the spectral goat has that. Fine selection of coffee elementals you have to drink.
And for selection and quality, quality is fairly obvious, right? It's self-explanatory. Selection could be specific, right? It could be a selection of wines or a selection of whiskeys, what have you, or it could just be selection in general. Like if it's a super bougie bar, they might have an enormous selection of basically anything you want.
Yeah, super bougie's got a whole big bar behind the barkeep. Magical bougie's got a whole big bar that just keeps going on into a demiplane of booze.
Or
kind of like Tank from The Matrix.
I was thinking it's a bar with one bottle, but it's always the right bottle.
Oh, that's really cool. Doesn't get any bigger in size. It just happens to be the one that you need.
Yep. You order a drink. The bartender grabs the bottle, makes the drink. And if it's got multiple liquors, he just puts it back and grabs it again.
Mm-hmm. Food selection, quality, and amount is also important. Let's talk about food selection, quality, and amount.
A upscale place is probably going to have both quality and selection. But a farmer's tavern is probably mostly just going to feed hungry people, and it's gonna be quantity over quality.
This could be lots of stuff, but when you're building this, ask your players, what are they known for? And I like this phrase as well. What is this bar known for? It could be a particular dish. You don't have to list everything out in the bar when you're building this. Just give them maybe a famous wine or a famous like booze, famous food, right?
Yep.
That's it. So what does the spectral goat have? Obviously it's gonna have goat.
Yeah. It's known for its goat meat pies.
Yeah, ethereal goat meat pies. They're very light, airy even.
Don't drop them.
Go right through you.
I was thinking they'll go through the table. That's why I said don't drop them.
What does the bar look like? So give us a description. A couple of common things that you can use to describe are?
For the outside, the sign. This gets mentioned a lot in a lot of writing and, you know, stories, what have you. And so clearly, this is an important note.
Mm-hmm.
What does the door look like?
Could be anything. Is it a well-armored door because people try to get in because this is a war-torn country? Or is it a very inviting door that maybe is like a sphincter that just kind of opens up into something organic and there's an illithid behind the bar going, come on in.
That's
very invited.
It could just be like saloon doors.
Or yeah, just could be some saloon doors where... So just hard drinking, hard fighting people play, right?
Absolutely. And since you've got a door, you're going to need windows and walls to go with it. Or maybe you don't. Maybe it's just a door.
Describe the windows, describe the walls, or the lack of thereof.
Yeah.
The size is also important. Is it big? Is it small?
Is it lit in the evening? Not just is it lit from the inside. Right? I mean, I guess if it's set in a place where most people don't need the light, then it might not be. But is it lit outwardly?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have lampposts?
Can you see it from the outside?
Exactly.
Yeah. What does the inside of the bar look like since we're talking about can you see it from the inside? So describe the tables and chairs, the floors, the rooms, whatever that happens to have. And again, we're not talking exhaustive descriptions. These are an exercise with your players. So it can literally just be a one-word sentence.
Sure.
Right? Tables. There you go. There's my one-word sentence. Does it have tables? Yes.
Are they round or square?
Square.
Okay, there we go.
Square tables.
Yep.
You know, the spectral goat doesn't have round things. It has square stuff. Angular. Made of fine ghost wood.
Now, see, that note changes the whole... This is an angular bar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The bar corner, like instead of being rounded, is going to be sloped. It actually, just one word can change the whole vibe of a place.
Absolutely. And finally, what is one unusual point of interest for your bar? And Matt's included a couple of examples. I love the stuffed beholder, always a classic.
Sure. You've already mentioned this before, a gnome head in a pickle jar full of orange brine.
Actually came from my game Reld.
Mm-hmm.
And then an unusual bar pet.
I love this idea.
It could be so many options.
Yeah.
So what does the spectral goat have, do you think, for a bar pet?
I feel like it needs to be a spectral goat.
A spectral goat, yeah. I was also thinking a giant tick for some reason on a leash.
Okay.
Here's my thought, all right? This is why my brain works the way it does. It's a giant tick.
Mm-hmm.
It sits on the bar, and if you can't pay your bar tab, the tick drinks your blood, and it gets bloated. And they use it because there's so many bar fights that they need transfusions. And so the bartender used to be a medic.
Sure. And he just...
bleeds the tick.
Sure.
Drains the tick and uses it for blood transfusions.
And then everybody bleeds out because of the anticoagulants
in
the tick.
Look, this is fantasy here, okay?
Silly me. I was thinking about a winged ferret.
Speaking of fantasy things, we've got what, Matt?
We've got the question of the week.
All right. Tell me what the fantasy question is this week.
All right. You've been isekai'd into a fantasy realm. You personally have been transported to a fantasy
realm. I've been vamoosed. I appear into some sort of fantasy realm.
Where a bar is your magical domain.
Mm-hmm.
What do you name it?
Hmm.
And give us a couple of details.
Cafe Insomnia.
All right.
Open 23 and a half hours every day.
Hey, that's mine.
There's going to be cage dancers in the coffee shop. It's a coffee shop. Coffee shop/bar,
yeah,
right?
That's fair.
I see lots of wood panels, the scent of roasted beans, books, and I would say it is a three-dimensional bar, which most bars happen to be, but this one has, when you step onto the wall, you can...
make an Escher-esque...
yeah, yeah. Think Labyrinth, right? You can step onto the ceiling and you can have a table. So it occupies all three dimensions of space. Everything is down.
Gotcha. I think for me, probably the Green Bear Tavern.
Green Bear Tavern. It has a green bear in the tavern.
Small one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Large dog sized.
I like that.
Not like grizzly bear sized.
What is your bar known for?
Specialty drinks.
Yeah. I could see that.
And decent food.
I forgot to mention, by the way, for my Cafe Insomnia, there should be a large eye sitting in a large coffee mug, and I would say it is a giant's eye. I would also say it's a fire giant's eye.
Keeps the coffee hot, and it doesn't blink. It just rolls.
It's just into the coffee. Shot. Yeah, it just stares. Every now and then it'll gaze at something in particular. A lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
What would your answer be to your isekai'd fantasy realm bar? Hit us up at Goblins Corner on all the various socials. And of course, you could do what, Matt?
You can always comment down below. That's what it's there for.
All right. So we have given a description of our bar. We have added the outside and the inside qualities to it. Now what do we need to do?
Now we have to fill it full of people.
All right. Let's fill it full of some people. What are some questions we would ask the group to put this thing together?
Who/what is the bartender?
Okay. So species, class, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like we need to know who this person is and or what this person is. Like you said, could be an illithid.
Could be an illithid. Could be a gnome. Could be, I don't know, a troll.
It's been a giant before. We know that.
That's true. We had a drunken giant tavern for a long time. The barkeep is the first character NPC that your players most likely will talk to in the bar, in the tavern. Makes a lot of sense. The second would probably be the cook.
Sure.
And the cook should be vastly different than the barkeep.
Yes. And they may or may not get along. They may or may not violently disagree.
And it may be even more fun when they don't.
Right.
And then finally, we need the staff.
Right. The rest of the staff.
Yeah. So think about, you know, maybe what they're wearing. Think about the types of creatures that are in there. Say, are they mostly human? Are they different species? Are they something strange and unusual? Like maybe Modrons are the waitstaff.
They're going to get the order right.
They better. If they're slod, God knows you could get anything. Anything.
But also, is this the kind of place that requires uniforms? Things like that, just little details that allow you to fill out this place more logically and scenically.
Absolutely. Also, who are the clientele? Who populates this bar? So in the Spectral Goats example, clearly we're going to have mystics of some sort drinking at this bar. And I would even say ghost hunters, like rangers.
Sure.
Dark rangers, blood hunters. Blood hunters would drink there.
I think I love this, like, almost cartoon-esque. It is known that there is a ghost goat at this bar.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who actively hunt the ghost goat. The ghost goat is never caught by the people hunting the ghost goat, but is always seen by anyone not actively hunting the ghost goat.
Yeah. So think about the descriptions that you've had before. Think about the type of bar that you're putting together, and then you'll kind of have an idea who the clientele are. Now, you can start with the clientele. You could do these out of order.
Sure.
And if you're thinking, you know what, I really want an Illithid bar. Bam, there you go. Or a monster bar. I want a monster bar where they're serving brain daiquiris, right? Then that could be anything.
You know, there's a drink called a Bloody Brain.
Sure. Could literally just be a Bloody Brain.
Exactly.
And that would be fun. You get that clientele, then you flesh the bar out. So you could go backwards if you want.
And you can also do some things that maybe feels weird. You could have a super high-end bar with a super selection and have it peopled by the kings of the and queens of the criminal world. Right? Like it's still a very seedy bar. It just isn't a seedy bar.
That would be a lot of fun. Maybe it's the meeting area for the entire criminal organizations. Kind of neutral ground, right?
Like the Continental.
Yes. And the bartender then would have special privilege in the city because he runs the bar.
Sure.
He said it's neutral ground. What happens if they break the accord?
Very bad things.
What we're alluding to, by the way, is the final point, which is fill it full of story.
Yes.
These are just a couple of examples. Let's get a little bit more specific, Matt.
Okay. Now, if this is just a plain country bar, you can raise and lower these numbers as makes sense. But the bar should have five secrets.
Five bar secrets.
Yes.
Okay. These can be anything. These can be standard secrets or dark secrets.
Right.
They might have Cthulhu in the basement, or maybe they just water down their beer.
It could be that the bartender has a supply of celebratory liquors hidden somewhere in the bar.
Or there's a magical artifact because the bartender was an ex-adventurer.
Sure.
That's a good secret, right?
It's a great secret.
In addition to five bar secrets, you need five things everybody in town knows.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be based in a town, unless it's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
In which case, what are five things they know about the middle of nowhere?
You could also do, like, if it is the bar in the middle of nowhere, what does every caravan master know about this place? Common knowledge just means common for whatever the specific clientele would be for this.
Absolutely. These are great plot hooks. These are great ways to have a side quest or just honestly just lore. Next up, you need to know the history of the bar. Let's talk about that, Matt.
The history of the bar could be as simple as this guy retired and built the place by hand, and now he's planning on running it and giving it to his kids.
Yeah.
It could be this bar has been here for time immemorial. Everything that has ever been written about this place has included this bar.
The Spectral Goat was built on the remains of a graveyard from an old farm before the town was founded. That's where the goat came from.
So you know they used to bury dogs as the first creature in a graveyard to protect the graveyard.
They buried the goat?
They buried the goat first.
Absolutely. I love everything about this. So the goat is the protector of the bar.
Yeah.
In the past 100 years, the goat has forcefully ejected 15 unruly customers.
Three fatalities.
Yes. All by headbutt defenestration.
Sure. Specifically headbutt defenestration. Yeah. So we've doesn't even aim for the door.
No.
It's always a window.
Always a window. So we've got some secrets. We've got stuff everybody knows, a little bit of history. And then I love this option as well when you're building a bar or anything, which is...
So this is collaborative storytelling, right?
Sure.
But as the DM, you get to decide what don't the players know about the bar. This is your chance as the DM to add some flavor.
So it could be the bartender is secretly a Suchari, right? Being controlled by parasites from within.
Sure.
Maybe the bar itself, every 100 years, teleports to a different location.
And the clock is ticking.
And the clock is ticking. Or something as simple as one of the patrons is a spy for another country. That's simple, right?
Yeah.
Compared to what we just said.
compared to the other stuff.
Compared to a teleporting bar and a magical parasite.
Extra planar parasite.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then finally, if you're really feeling froggy, we have an extra option to create stuff. DMs, you can have each player make a bar of their choice using the same options we just elaborated upon. Drop that unique bar somewhere in your game world at any point in time.
I love the fact that you get to spring this on them, right? They're traveling along, they hit this tiny little town, and something they created in some cases 6 months ago, they come around the corner and they suddenly get to see, first off, their creation, but they get to see their friends' reactions to their creation. And
the look on their faces is always priceless when they get to see something they've created interjected into the story, because it's theirs. They own it. They own a piece of that story now, not just playing in it. They are now involved in your story.
And I suggest this for bars, for shops, for literally just little bits and pieces of everything.
Yeah, do it frequently too. Do it for a bunch of different things. Build your world out. Remember, you're doing this with your players to make something fun. So have fun building.
Absolutely.
So there you have it. A couple of ways that we use collaborative storytelling options to build awesome worlds. And in this case, an awesome tavern, right?
Yeah.
An awesome spectral goat. Defenestrating people with a headbutt.
We actually answered most of the stuff for the spectral goat other than the bartender, the cook, and the staff, I think.
Any questions or comments? Hit us up at Goblin's Corner on the various socials. Did you enjoy this podcast? We're brewing up a couple more. Subscribe to it on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. And on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get our show in front of more people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
Just currently materializing from the ethereal plane with a
thump crash.
Yeah, that's about how it works. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden
and Matt Staples.
D20 did our music.
And this is, in fact, a Subterranean production.
Your voice is so low.